Welcome to Dynamo's Dozen, the podcast that I bring you each and every single week, where we'll talk about whatever may be on my mind, from pro wrestling, sports, entertainment, music, movies, muesli, fresh socks and jocks, and everything in between. Never forgetting the talc, this is Dynamo's Dozen. You are very, very welcome to Dynamo's Dozen. This is a show that I have been looking forward to for a very, very long time. Today, I have none other than the King, Harley Race, on the show.
Right here is symbolic of what it's all about. This is the world's heavyweight title. And when I say this, I mean it in all sincerity. The world's heavyweight title, held by Harley Race, not once but twice. Over half of my life devoted to what I do better than any other human being in wrestling. I am not going to allow any human being to insult me or this. And when I say that, I mean it in dead sincerity. When I walk in that ring, I'm walking in there as world's heavyweight champion. I'm walking in there to defend what I hold probably more close than any other man has ever held. This is my life.
Today's episode is brought to you by Kelly's Mountain Brew, five of the best alcoholic beverages that can be found anywhere on the planet. We have Pride, the most amazing Pilsner, Revenge, a Ruby Porter that the world would keep coming back for more, Justice, a pale ale that would put some color on your face, Revolution, a red ale that will put hair on your chest, Redemption, an IPA that will kick your ass harder than the Iron Sheik. Kelly's Mountain Brew is available at most Super Value stores, and for more info, go to kellysmountainbrew.com. All Kelly's Mountain Brew beers are vegan friendly and can be enjoyed no matter what your taste. So here we have it, Dynamo's Dozen is here. I do have to apologize to each and every single one of you for last week, because we had no Dynamo's Dozen, and that is because we were snowed in for nearly a week here in Dublin. I think most of the Leinster area was affected. I know there was a lot of other counties and provinces that were affected as well. So I do got to apologize to all of you for not being able to bring you Dynamo's Dozen. However, today I am bringing literally one of the most iconic wrestlers in the history of pro wrestling, and that is Harley Race. You heard one of those epic promos that Harley was able to cut back in the day, and today we are going to have Harley Race on the show. It is an honor, it is a pleasure. But before I get on to Harley, a couple of things that we want to talk about before we talk to him, and I want to start with Wilder versus Ortiz. The other day, Wilder and Ortiz had an absolutely epic battle. It was an absolutely unbelievable fight. I know each and every one of you aren't into boxing. However, I am, so therefore I'm going to talk about it just for a little while. It was a phenomenal fight, because it really showed character on Wilder's part, because Ortiz was also undefeated. It's someone that AJ didn't want to fight. It's someone that a lot of heavyweights didn't want to fight. But Wilder took that chance. He fought him, he beat him, he really, really beat him badly at the end as well. Ortiz had Wilder almost down, I think it was in the 7th or 8th round, and it was just an absolutely epic fight. If you haven't gone back and watched it, then do. You got to watch it. If you weren't watching it live, you missed out, but you can go back and watch the fight, because it was absolutely unbelievable. And I really think Wilder versus AJ has to happen now, and I think that's going to be a fight that is going to cause AJ all kinds of problems, because Wilder fought somebody that is far younger than Vladimir Klitschko, and he was able to take his hardest shots. And King Kong Ortiz, man, he is a hard hitter, and Wilder was able to take them and still get the job done. So I would highly recommend watching that. But I'm not going to babble on too much this week, because we do have one of the biggest legends in the history of professional wrestling. Personally, my favorite NWA world champion of all time, and that is Harley Race. And Harley Race is going to be joining me momentarily. So here I am with the legendary Harley Race. Harley, sir, it is an absolute honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to be able to speak to you. And thank you for taking the time out to speak to me today.
Well, it's always, to me, a lot of fun to be able to talk to people about something that I have done since I was 15 years old, and that's about 100 years ago.
It's not that long ago, Harley. You're still a young man.
Yeah.
So how are you? You sound good. You're doing good. I know you're pretty busy at the moment with the World League of Wrestling at the moment as well, yourself and your son Leland, who I was lucky enough to talk to last week on my show as well. He was giving me and my fans the rundown over here in Ireland of what you guys do over there. It sounds like you're having a lot of success with that at the moment, Harley.
It's coming along really well right now.
Yeah, and I mean, you've definitely got a lot of great up-and-coming talent. I mean, Leland himself is a great talent. But also, I do have to say to you that Leland is an absolute gentleman as well, and an absolute a credit to you, sir.
Well, I don't know about the gentleman part, but the rest...
So, Harley, talk to me. You know, as I say, I'm based in Ireland. I was lucky enough to kind of have when I started wrestling, be trained by some of the guys that are in WWE now, like Finn Balor, guys that are up and coming now. For you, do you still watch the product now?
Yes, and I still run wrestling shows of my own in a much, much smaller area than what they used to be, but still alive.
Sure, and like your World League of Wrestling, that's kind of based out of Missouri, is that right?
Well, Missouri is the headquarters of it. There's about a 10-state area around here that I'm in and out of, and then occasionally we're up in Canada.
Sure, sure. So that's you kind of would you do much up in Canada as well?
What did you say?
Do you do many shows up in Canada as well, or is it just based around that particular area now?
It's based around what the shorter areas that it is for us to get to.
Sure, sure. Harley, bring me back. As you mentioned, you were wrestling since you were 15 years old. Do you remember your first ever professional wrestling match?
Yes, I do.
Talk to me about it.
Well, there was guy that I became partners with in promotion of wrestling and teaching of wrestling, and his name was Jesus Christ, he's instantly brain dead. Who was my partners in my wrestling organization? Bob Geigel, Pat O'Connor.
Pat O'Connor.
Yeah.
Irish guy.
Huh?
An Irish American wrestler, yeah?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I started to say Italian, but I think you're right with what you just said.
Yeah. And you, I know you, your first, you were recruited by wrestling promoter Gust Karas, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's kind of when you started out and when you got your first kind of break into the business, is that right?
That's right.
Sure. So you start wrestling on some of Karras's shows, and obviously I would imagine back then when you did start wrestling during that period, you would have got to wrestle some of the real kind of hookers and shooters at that time. Would that be right?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. And I know, so tell me about the name Jack. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's when I learned the shooter part.
So yeah, so when you started out with shooting, were you, I mean, explain to me the difference at that time between the shoot part and then the work part. What were the key differences during that time period?
Well, the work part, you weren't trying to hurt or really maim somebody up. The other is what you did.
Sure, but I mean, how did you, when you started out, did you literally think it was all a shoot? Did you have any idea that there was work involved, or was it very, very kayfabe back then where you had to learn it the hard way, which I'd imagine it would be, yeah?
Yeah, I started with the Sabisco brothers.
Sure.
When they were alive and well in around Savannah, Missouri.
Yeah.
And once I got away from them and got in with Gus Karras, and Gus Karras, I was with him, well, up until he died.
Sure. Yeah, I know. I know a lot of the places that you worked. I mean, you done AWA stuff in the kind of mid '60s, and then you kind of done bits and bobs for the AWA all the way up until, you know, the mid '80s as well. But I mean, the key promotion for you as a performer, I dare say, was the NWA, the National Wrestling Alliance. I mean, that's where, you know, you literally held the big belt for, you know, on 7 occasions, having some of the most amazing matches, I mean, with the likes of Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, the Funks. In fact, I want to ask you about the Funks. Terry Funk and Dory Funk Jr., two guys that you would have wrestled a lot. What was the differences in both of their styles?
One was a wrestler's wrestler.
Dory,
and
right?
The other one, which was Dory.
Yeah.
And the other one was more or less a happy-go-lucky type of kid.
Sure. And who did you have most fun wrestling out of those two guys? Who did you enjoy working with more between Dory and Terry?
Well, I enjoyed either one of them because virtually I controlled the system that we worked.
Sure. And that's a big thing for you, Harley, because when I look back on your work, which is an amazing body of work, you always seem to be in control of pretty much every match that you've ever had, whether you worked as a good guy or as a bad guy. Was that just a system for you? Was that the way it was? Was it because you were a veteran of the game, or was it just because that's just the way you felt that you worked best when you were calling it?
Well, it, that you are going to sound like I'm blowing smoke up you know what in my body. Pritchard, every one of them knew from the get-go before they walked in the ring with me that they were walking in with the ring general.
Sure, sure. That's a fact. I mean, and you know what? Not to blow smoke up, you know what? I would agree with that because, I mean, you've always been one of my favorite wrestlers. I mean, I'm a guy in my early 30s, and I even was able to go back and find your old body of work, and it was just timeless. I mean, we talk about some of the moves that wrestlers do today. Diving headbutt, that was yours. The likes of the tombstone, they were moves that you were doing long before anybody even thought of those moves. How does it feel for you today? I mean, when you look at some of the workers today, and seeing that those moves that you invented are still being used today.
Well, it kind of makes me happy to see it.
Yeah.
That at least that part of me is still available and still out there in the ring. Not sitting here in a chair.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what's your proudest? I mean, I actually, you know, for anybody that has not seen it or for anybody that's been living under a rock, everybody knows that the first Starrcade when you and Rick worked, I think it was called Flair for the Gold, if I'm not mistaken. There was a cage match with you and Rick. That was one of the long matches that was first seen on kind of pay-per-view, and it's there for everybody to see on the WWE Network. But I was running through a list of matches that you had. You must have done more 60-minute matches than anybody in the history of wrestling.
Well, I passed up Lou Thesz, and at that point in time, Thesz was the guy as far as the hour-long wrestling was concerned. Yeah. But when I passed him up, it was with the people of wrestling. It really was a big notification type of, I don't know how would you say it, but to the people involved in wrestling, it really became a big thing.
Big honor kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, in fact, actually, you mentioned Lou Thesz there, one of the all-time great shooters. Did you ever work with Lou?
Yeah, about a half a jillion times.
So that's a yes.
Yeah.
That's a yes. And in fairness, I know you did. A lot of those matches are available for people to look at on YouTube. And I would highly recommend any young wrestler looking to get in and learn the mechanics of wrestling to watch some of those early matches. Because you were really one of the first guys who everything wasn't based on... it was not based on the body. You had a really, really thick, broad physique. And a really tough guy look. I hope that's fair for me to say. I hope that's no disrespect. But you know, you didn't. You're not like one of the guys nowadays where they're all kind of slim and ripped and veins coming out of every kind of body part. But you had a really good wrestler physique. Were you naturally built like that? Yeah.
Well, once I gained it. I think a lot of that was because I gained it when I was 15 years old. and that's when that's how old I was when I started in wrestling. And my mom and my dad, if they ever got a call wanting to know how old I was, they say, "How old did he say?"
So you had to bend the truth a little bit, yeah?
Yeah, I had. By the time I reached the age of where I could wrestle and say what the age really was.
Tell Harley, one of the big things, and I mean, this is you know, as I say, I talked to your son Leland on my show last week, and we had a really, really great conversation. But one of the things that you're known for in wrestling, and it's legendary at this stage, was your toughness. And I'm sure you don't want to talk about your toughness, but some of the stories are there for everybody to see. Give me a list, or some stories maybe, of some of the toughest guys that you've ever come across or known in professional wrestling.
My phone was making some noises. Must have been somebody trying to ring it when you were talking, and I couldn't really hear you.
No, that's no problem. That's no problem. I can repeat it. One of the things that you are known for in the wrestling business, beyond the ring itself, is that you were always known as a very, very tough guy, okay? But, like, who are some of the toughest guys that you've come across in the wrestling business yourself, other than yourself?
there were several of them. Lutez was one of them. Pat O'Connor, believe it or not, Bert Gagne.
Oh, okay.
I wished you'd ask me that question about a week ago. I could have went through some of my books and I could have come up with all the names.
So there's no nature boy on that, no?
Now, there were several pretty tough guys in that era and time in wrestling.
Yeah. Somebody that I need to talk to you about, because his brother is a very good friend of mine, Mark Billington. Tom Billington, the Dynamite Kid. His brother, Mark, is obviously a huge fan of yours, and you probably know Mark. You probably met him when he was a kid as well. But it would be something on my show. I always like to mention the Dynamite Kid because he's kind of forgotten about now. And I know that you and him were very, very, very good friends, and obviously he's not in the best of health at the moment. So talk to me a little bit about the Dynamite Kid, if you will.
The Dynamite Kid was not only a pretty tough guy to start with, but he was a really great, nice person to go along with.
Yeah, and he gets a lot of bad publicity sometimes as well. But it's funny because the more people that I talk to who had experience with Dynamite say that he was just a genuinely nice guy behind it all.
Yes, but he was the type of person that he could back up what he said, and that's why he had a lot of people that didn't really like that part because he was a tough kid.
Yeah, yeah. And it seemed like Dynamite was somebody that you seemed to take under your wing. Would that be right? Would I be right in saying that?
Yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he used the diving headbutt. He used a lot of moves that you used in the ring as well. And it seemed to be almost like a tribute. Because, I mean, we've heard stories that, he, you know, somebody said something about you and Dynamite put them in their place. So he seemed to really, really care for you quite a lot. So,
well, I did him too.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And as I say, his brother Mark is always listening to the show, and he's Mark is almost kind of always flying the flag for Dynamite. You know, I mean, I think it's a shame that the likes of you guys aren't in a Hall of Fame. I mean, a Hall of Fame without these sort of wrestling characters isn't really a Hall of Fame at all, in my opinion. But that's just my two cents, to be honest with you. I'm sure you would agree.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And how are you doing these days, Harley, health wise? You sound good. You've got your wits about you. You're still running wrestling shows at the moment as well. So, how is your health and how is your life these days?
The health and stuff is still really good.
Yeah.
And I run a wrestling school and stuff. That I, you know, I'm still out there training young kids into wrestling now, and I still really enjoy what I do.
It's in your DNA, I mean, the wrestling business. So, is it, you've got the, it's still called the Harley Race Wrestling Academy, is that right?
Say that again.
We've got harleyrace.com, which we can you can find all of your information on harleyrace.com. Is that right, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. I can see that there. We've got the Harley Race Wrestling Academy and we've got the World League Wrestling. So you run the wrestling promotion, but you also run the wrestling school as well.
Yes.
And I know your son Leland has a great hand in helping train some of the guys and also works some of the shows as well. And I mean, he's a great performer as well. Talk to me about Leland a little bit and how proud you are of seeing his kind of journey.
Well, he has picked up wrestling from me in the way that I used to do it. And by doing that and carrying himself along, he has done a hell of a good job of it.
Yeah. And it's actually a conversation that we had last time I was talking to Leland, and we were talking about the modern generation of wrestlers versus the your generation of wrestlers. So a lot of the guys that you would see now of days, the guys that would be called great, the likes of Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho and guys like that, what do you see in those guys versus your generation, and what are the key differences, if you can pick any?
Well, each and every one of us back during that point in time had what we like to call our own rule style. And a lot of those that were around at that point in time, their style worked pretty damn good also.
Sure.
So it was just, you know, when I got in the ring with one of them, we just kind of laid it out there, and they went with theirs, they went with mine, we saw who won.
Yeah. And does any of the modern kind of comedic, the comedy stuff in wrestling that does be around nowadays, it's not for everybody, does that kind of wrestling bother you in the modern era, the way there's kind of, it's almost a little bit phony looking sometimes, does that kind of bother you a little bit? Do you find yourself turning the TV off when you see that?
Well, I turned that TV off more times than I turned it on.
So that's a yes from the king. Yeah, I mean, it's. I know it's not for everybody. I mean, my favorite pro wrestling would be, like I say, the old school pro wrestling. I mean, even when you go back and you look at guys like, you know, even the likes of Bret Hart and, as you say, Dynamite Kid and guys, those guys could still work even up to a certain point. But it seems to be over the last 10 to 15 years that there seems to be a little bit of a comedic element brought to pro wrestling that kind of takes the realism out of it. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, obviously, I'm talking to somebody here who was a man's man and a wrestler's wrestler. Tell me, what was your favorite ever NWA title run? Which one stood out to you most?
What?
Your favorite world championship reign. Which one was your favorite?
Well, I'd have to say the beginning one.
The first one, yeah.
Because I was wrestling a lot of big name people that had been there for a lot of years, and I was the young new lookalike that was making my own way.
Yeah.
Through their ear.
Yeah, yeah.
And luckily I was good enough that I survived it.
Yeah. You definitely survived it, Harley.
Ah.
You definitely survived it and then some.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose just before we finish up, Harley, because I know you're a busy man, and again, I would just like to thank you for taking the time out of your day to come on my show and speak to me and my listeners, especially over here in Ireland. You've got some great fans here in Ireland, so it really means a lot to me that you would come on. But one of the things I wanted to ask you that was always kind of on my mind. When you went from the likes of NWA territories, and then, you know, from AWA and whatnot, and then you did move on to the WWF, Vince McMahon's WWF, what was the difference in the in-ring style, in the work? Was it something that you enjoyed more, or was it something that you enjoyed less?
Some of them were enjoyment, more, yes.
Okay.
But 90% of them was, I brought my own style.
Yeah.
In there, and they just weren't up to it or didn't know it and let me go right on through.
Yeah. I kind of see what you mean there, because I was watching some matches today of your WWE run. Now, you had some great matches within that company as well. I think you even worked, there was a match with Junkyard Dog, which was a very good match. But then there was a couple of times where you wrestled Hogan. And I mean, talk around the town back then was that you were going to be next in line to kind of really give Hogan a challenge. What was it like working with Hogan, and why do you think it never worked out that you were in that title picture? Because you definitely should have been.
Well, they knew that if they ever put us in their ring on, you know, me on him, him on me.
Yeah.
That their version of the title would not come out looking as good as what they had chosen to look like for all those years.
Yeah.
And they kept us apart, yeah, after that purposely because of that.
Yeah. And was Hogan somebody that you enjoyed working with, or what was he like to be around backstage? Was he a good guy? Did you enjoy working with him in the ring, or no?
Well, I did with him because he knew up front ahead of time that he better not be sitting there telling everybody how he was going to kick my butt and so on and so forth.
Now, that's a story I do not doubt at all, Harley. I've even heard a quote before from Hogan saying that if there was one guy backstage that he was very intimidated by, it was definitely you. So, I remember before you go, should I say, one of the funny stories I ever heard was when I read Dynamite Kid's book, and he said when you were driving up in Calgary, or I think it was Saskatoon or something, and you had to stop the van and get out, and you just had Dynamite and Brett in a headlock, and then they had some beers with you. Is that true?
Yeah, there's some other they're funny to them and me, but they wouldn't be of the right nature to be talking about over the set here.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Hopefully one day, Harley, I'll be able to have a beer with you off camera and we'll be able to know a little bit more.
All right.
Absolutely. Well,
that sounds good.
Sounds very good. You, me, and Leland will definitely hopefully have a beer at some point. And I think on that note, Harley, I know you've got a busy day. So again, I would like to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Yeah, you're an absolute gentleman, and the word legend gets thrown out too often in the wrestling business these days, but you, sir, truly are an absolute legend and one of my personal heroes. So again, I thank you and I wish you nothing but the best.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend, and it's my pleasure to be able to be on the air with you here now.
Perfect, and we will talk again soon, Harley, for sure. And for anyone who wants to go and check out HarleyRace.com, that's the website where you'll be able to see everything that you need to know about Harley. You can also go in the shop and buy some merchandise as well. Anything you need to know about Harley Race is all there. And then we've got the World League of Wrestling, the promotion, but also information based on the school as well. So I would highly implore people to go and check that out. And Harley, once again, my friend, it has been an absolute honor and a pleasure, my friend. Take care.
Same here, my friend.
Take care. Bye-bye, sir.
Bye.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The legendary 7-time world heavyweight champion, Harley Race, a real world champion. Somebody who I've admired from the age of 15 upwards, and still probably more so admire him to this day. So I know it was only a short interview, we didn't have much time with Harley today, but I've been told that we will be able to have him on again soon. He's promised me that he'd love to come on the show again soon. He's a busy man. He's getting his health back slowly but surely as well. So it was an absolute honor to talk to Harley today. I hope you all enjoyed it. And until next week, Dynamo is over and out.